Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we are a grateful people, Lord, to know that you are here and that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Father, we just ask that you would be with us now as we would go to thy word this morning to study the message which Brother Branham gave to us, the spoken word as the original seed. Help us, Father, to be very attentive to the thoughts in which your prophet is declaring to us. And help us, Lord, to be reverent and to be circumspect toward these things, for we know that it was not in vain that you yourself came down with a message to declare yourself in this hour, and that you chose a vessel to use, William Branham, vindicated prophet of God. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would be with us as we would open this word, and we pray that you would bless our hearts, Lord, and bring us rest in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to subtitle this message, Everything in Its Original Form on Earth Today is a Spoken Word of God. And Brother Branham said from paragraph 47, he said, it cannot be mixed and it will not be hybrid with nothing else. It will not hybrid. Today is a great day of hybriding animals and corn and wheat, making a better looking product, but it's no good. It's rotten. No life in it. It dies. It can't reproduce itself. It's dead because everything that we have on earth today in its original form is a spoken word of God. Now think about that. Everything in its original form is a spoken word of God. That's why that a mule, a bastard-born animal with a crossbreeding, cannot breed itself back again. God made a horse and he made a donkey. You breed them two together, you got a mule. It's a hybrid. Therefore, it can't breed itself back. We're going to hit that serpent seed after a while now. It can't breed itself back. Now, what's my text? The spoken word is the original seed. Now, I want to prove that. Let us turn over to Matthew 24, verse 35, just for a moment, as we search through these scriptures for a little while. And I want to read here a word that Jesus said. Matthew 24 and the 35th verse show how eternal this word is, what we've been talking about. He said, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now what I wish to focus our thoughts on this morning are Brother Branham's words where he says, everything that we have on earth today in its original form is a spoken word of God. But my first question is, what do we have left in its original form? Man is not in his original form. Adam was the last man that was genetically perfect, a son of God. And then in those days, the daughters of man, the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair to look upon, and they took unto them wives whatsoever they would. And so we see that man is not in his original form. Grass is not in its original form. It's been hybrid to where you got all these crossbreeds. Apples, you know, there used to be thousands of varieties of apples. I don't know how many they got left, maybe four or five. It just seems like it's just very, very little. Potatoes the same way. We used to have something like 400 or 500 breeds of potatoes in this country. Now we've got, I think, 3 or 4 breeds of potatoes. You know, you got the russet, you got the reds, you got the Idaho, you got... I mean, there's just very, very few potatoes left. They've been crossbreeding, crossbreeding, crossbreeding until they've just done away with all the different varieties that God has in life. That's why, you know, you go into a church today and everybody, I don't say this church, but I'm just saying in general, I'm not even saying in the message, but in general, you go into a church today and everybody in the church is pretty much the same. You know, they all look alike, they act alike, and God is a God of variety. You know, he wants his children to be led by his spirit, not by the pastor's spirit or the peer pressure spirit or, you know, what the other girls are wearing. That's what you're going to wear. He wants you to be led by the Holy Spirit, and he wants you to be following him. So notice he says, everything that we have on earth today in its original form is a spoken word of God. Now, fortunately, we still have trees. We have oak trees, maple trees, we have spruce, and we have redwoods, and we have trees that haven't been hybrid away. So, you know, but the problem is that we can't enjoy them because the trees have pollen, the grass has pollen, we have all these things have pollen, and our bodies are so made of mush anymore that we become allergic to a lot of things. But let's face it, everything that man puts his hand to, he has altered the way that God made those things to be. And when he puts his hand to the Word of God, he alters that too. That's how we got so many denominations. Now, the reason I believe that he's talking about seed here is because right after he says everything that we have on earth today in its original form is a spoken word of God. He then says, now, what's my text? The spoken word is the original seed. So the spoken word is the original. It's the first seed that has life in it and is the last seed that has life in it. All other seeds are not original and they have to die. So where was our seed? The seed that lays within you. If it came forth from that original seed, you see, then it has life. Now in the book of Luke, chapter 8, verse 11, Jesus tells us that the Word of God is a seed. He says, now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. And in 1 Peter we're told that God's Word is His seed and that it's an incorruptible seed. What does that mean? It means it can't perish. 1 Peter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God which lives and abides forever. And in Matthew 13, 23, Jesus tells us that if this word seed is sown into soil that understands, it will produce what it is meant to produce. Because the life in it is sown into an understanding mind. But he that receiveth seed into good ground, he says, is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also bears forth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. But Jesus also tells us that if the word seed is sown into a mind that cannot comprehend, cannot understand, then the seed life is wasted and will not produce anything. In Matthew 13, verse 19, he says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. In other words, Jesus himself said in John 6 and 63, my words are spirit and their life. Therefore, the word is a seed, and a seed is a carrier of life. And if they are his words, then there would have to be a carrier of whose life? His life. Right? Because Jesus said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. But where did Jesus' life come from anyway? John 5:26 tells us that for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Therefore, the life that is in the Word comes from the Father, the original. And Jesus Christ, the only begotten, the first begotten, is the original seed. Therefore, he be the original carrier of the life. And as such, in John 5:19 and 5:30, Jesus tells us he couldn't do anything but what the Father showed him to do first. In John 5:18, we read, therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that he himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Now in John 5:30 says, I can of mine own self do nothing, as I hear I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father that sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Now here we see that the life and the inspiration behind what Jesus did and what he said was from his Father. Therefore, the life in him was God life that was being expressed. In John 1, verses 1 to 4, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. For in him was life, and the life was the light of men." Now notice the scripture speaks of life being with him and in him. It tells us that he is the Word. Therefore, the Word is a carrier of life, of God life. Jesus also told us that the Word of God is a seed which the sower planted. And as we saw in Luke 8 and verse 11, Jesus said the seed that the sower sows is the Word of God. And we also read from 1 Peter 1:23 that the Word of God is an incorruptible seed. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life." So what is God's divine power? Because he says, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." So we're finding here that the divine power of God has given us all things that pertain to life. Well, Paul tells us the power of God is his word over in Romans 1, verse 16. Then he goes on, he says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these," that by what? These promises, "you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." There's only one way that we can be saved, and that's through the Word of God. There's only one way that we can receive the divine nature of God, and that's through his Word. There's only one way that you can receive the Spirit of God. That's through his Word. His words are spirit in their life. You see? What man, having not the Spirit of God, can understand the things of God? So if you don't have the Spirit of God, which comes by the Word, how can you understand the things of God? Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. Let the spirit that was in Christ, the attitude that was in Christ, be in you. Now here we find that the Word of God is what gives us everything that we have need of in this life. Even the divine nature, which is God's own very nature. That is why Paul told us that while the outer man is perishing, the inner man must be renewed daily. And he also told us in Romans 12 and verse 1 that our transformation comes by the renewing of our mind. Now, I'm getting back to what Brother Branham was telling us here. He said, everything that we have on earth today, in its original form, is a spoken word of God. He then says, now, what's my text? The spoken word is the original seed. So the spoken word is the original. It's the first seed that has life in it. And it is the last seed that has life in it. And all other seeds are not original and have no life. Then this Bible, which is the spoken word, is written for, in its written form, is the life that was in the Father, and that same life given to his Son, and then to sons. Then it's eternal life in a letter form. Now I know that some teach that the Bible is just a history of the church. Well, you get what you look for. And therefore, if it is so, then there's no life in it. It's just a history. And that's their reward, death. It may contain history, but the history that it contains is his story, history. And if it is his story, then it must tell us everything we need to know about him in order for us to know him. After all, he is life. And the Bible tells us, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So the original speaking is coming from the very heart of God. Then if that's true, and I believe that is true, then the Word of God is a testimony of God or the expression of God's will to us. It's his story, after all. Now this Bible is the map that he told us to enter if we are to find eternal life. It's our blueprint. And we all know that a blueprint is a pattern, and just like a building a house, we must have a foundation first, and after all, a foundation is a blueprint of the shape that you build your building upon. You cannot have a rectangular foundation if the house is to be octagonal shape. Something's going to fall in. The house must sit squarely upon its foundation, and therefore, whatever shape the foundation is, that is what the house shape, or the shape of the house, will have to be. Therefore, a foundation is the basis of any building, and you must follow the foundation in order to build. And Paul said, be careful how you build thereon. In 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10, he said, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Therefore, if Jesus Christ, the Word, is our foundation, if He's our pattern, if Jesus Christ, the Word, is our blueprint, our map, then everything that we live for and expect out of life must come forth from His Word. And remember, the life of the Father was in the Son, so that when the Son talked, the people heard the Father speaking. When the Son acted, it was the Father acting within Him. He said, the Father worketh and the Son worketh hitherto. This Word, then, which is the original seed, is our absolute. We just read in 2 Peter 1, verses 3 to 4, that everything we have need of in this life comes forth from the Word of God, even the divine nature, which is God's own nature, that we long to receive. His divine power, His spoken Word, His original seed, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And why would we seek it somewhere else? Why would we spend so much time seeking to fulfill ourselves outside of His Word? If God told us in His own words that His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life, then that means everything. You cannot have a truly successful life without having a Christ-centered life. You cannot have a close-knit family without having a Christ-centered family. You cannot have a truly lasting marriage without having a Christ-centered marriage. And what is a Christ-centered marriage? What is a Christ-centered family? It is one that the Word of God, it's a Word of God-centered. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Only the original seed has life in it. All other seeds are hybrid, and they'll die out. In fact, in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verse 9, we read, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, but a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So what do you think this threefold cord is? Because if it is just anything, it is not eternal, and therefore it cannot last. And we're told that this third cord is what makes the marriage last, and therefore must be an incorruptible cord. It has to be an eternal cord, and it's Christ, the Word. In Matthew 19 and verse 4, and he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And that's the key right there. Did God put together the marriage or not? Is he that third cord in the relationship? If so, it shall last. If not, it will not last. Why do you think America has a 60% divorce rate? What God puts together will last, but what He does not put together is destined to fail. If God put it together, it will last. But if He did not, then how can they expect it to last? And that is why I am very careful who I will marry anymore. I will not marry a believer to an unbeliever. God told us not to yoke ourselves together with unbelief. He also said, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? And Brother Branham told George Smith, and he told his daughter, Rebecca, he says, you can get engaged, but I don't want you to get married until you both receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, unless you marry a believer, you're on your own. I've seen too many marriages fall apart because God never put the couple together in the first place. Then you ask, what put those couples together? And the answer is simple. It's lust. Too many kids just want to hop in the sack and they can't wait for the right one to come along to do it. One girl was asked why she was waiting so long for Mr. Right to come along, and she said, I would rather be lonely than miserable. I've talked to brothers in the ministry in their early 40s, several of them. And I said, why haven't you married yet? It's because I haven't found the right one. And I'd rather live alone than to make a mistake and have to live with it. A pastor one day was walking down the street and he came up to upon a woman who was very irreligious, but whose husband was a true believer and who sought to have a peaceful and closer relationship with his Lord. The pastor addressed the woman and he said, Madam, I think your husband is looking upwards and he's making quite an effort to rise above the world towards God in heaven. You must not let him try alone. Whenever I see a husband struggling alone in such efforts, I picture in my mind a dove that is endeavoring to fly upwards while he has one broken wing. It leaps and it flutters and perhaps it rises a little way. But when it becomes wearied and drops back again to the ground, but when both wings cooperate, it can easily find its way upward towards the heavens. Years ago, the Reverend Robert Newton celebrated his golden anniversary with his wife, and he told the people assembled that he and his wife had never had even an unkind word or an unkind look at each other in those 50 years. I know there's none of us that can say that. When he was asked how that they could accomplish such a wonderful thing, listen to what he replied. He said, from the day we were married, we would both retire twice each day to pray for the other. And we have kept up this practice for 50 years. Twice a day, they would go their separate ways to pray for each other. I think that's a good habit. You've all heard, I'm sure, the old expression, the family that prays together stays together. That's true. Now, I don't say that I've been the world's best example for this, but this is what I believe, and I've tried to practice this in my own house. And to my own shame, we were very, very good at this until my daughters got older and started living their own schedules. The scripture tells us that parents should not provoke their children to anger. The scripture in my home is our absolute. As the head of my home, I have the final say, but if I'm wrong in what I say or do by the word of God, in other words, if I do something or act in a certain way which is not according to the scripture, my wife, my children have a right to point out to me. And I must repent and ask their forgiveness according to the scripture. If my wife is wrong or my children are wrong, I do not tell them they're wrong because it's my opinion they're wrong. I try to show them by the word if they're wrong. And if I can do this, then it's not me but God's word that has the final say. And if we would all do this as unto the Lord, then when any of us steps aside from God's word, it is his word which corrects the error. If that third cord, which is Christ, is in your relationship will live on. If it is not, then the relationships are doomed to fail. If you want a close family, then pray together and talk this word together and use the word as your guide and your absolute in running your home. The last thing my children want to hear from me is to tell them to do something and then they ask me why, and I tell them because it's my house, that's why. Or because I just want it that way. We have got to get away from that type of thinking. My children are all adults, and that doesn't work any longer. But show them by the word, and they easily submit, and that's the way our home ought to be run and is run. We must have Christ-centered thinking. And if we all have the same mind, the mind of Christ, then we all begin to think alike. Therefore, children, obey your parents, for this is the first commandment with a promise. And parents, show them a Christ-centered mind in what you do and what you say. Brother Branham said the spoken word is the original seed, and the only original has, and only the original has life. This Bible is our blueprint to a wonderful and prosperous life. This Bible is the map that we are to follow if we are to receive His eternal promises. This Bible is the map that He told us to follow to begin eternal life. That means a life that will live on forever. This life that has made so many mistakes, this life that has known so much unbelief and sin, this physical life that has so many ups and downs, can be righted if we just walk in the light as He is in the light. Walking in the light brings righteousness. Walking in the light brings right wiseness, a right way of thinking. Walking in the light brings newness of life. Walking in the light leads us into immortality. Then why do we hesitate when we have such a great opportunity before us? In closing, in Hebrews 10, 21 to 26, Paul says, "And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." People are so used to provoking one another to anger. But Paul says, provoke one another unto love and to doing good. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we want to thank You, Lord, for Your word, as simple as it may have been. Father, we know there's one threaded message there, and that's what Your prophet said, that everything in its original form is spoken word of God. Help us to bring our marriages back to the original form. Help us to bring our relationship with our children and our children's relationship with us back to the original form. Help us to bring our relationships with one another back to the original form. For this we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The